Okay, welcome back from that break. The Mamas and the Papas were formed by husband and wife, John Phillips and Michelle Phillips. John was part of the New Journeymen. And then also what came over to round out this trio was Denny Doherty. He was formerly of the Mugwumps. And both of these earlier acts were folk groups, active in 1964 and 1965. The last member to join is probably the one that's remembered the most, and that was Cass Elliot. She was Doherty's bandmate in the Mugwumps, who had to overcome John Phillips' concerns that her voice was too low for his arrangements and that her obesity would be an obstacle to the band's success and that her temperament was incompatible with his. Elliot, she struggled with her obesity all of her life and felt very deeply insecure about her physical appearance. The group considered calling itself the Magic Circle before switching to Mamas and the Papas, actually inspired by the Hells Angels, whose female associates were mamas. The quartet spent the period from early spring, mid-summer 1965, in the Virgin Islands to, quote, rehearse and just put everything together, as John Phillips later recalled. Phillips also acknowledged that he was reluctant to abandon folk music. Others, including Doherty and guitarist Eric Horde, have also agreed that he hung on to it like death. Roger McGuinn's view is that it was hard for John to successfully break out of folk music because I think he was really good at it, conservative and successful too. Phillips has also acknowledged that it was Doherty and Elliot who awakened him to the potential of contemporary pop as epitomized by the Beatles. Previously, the New Journeymen had played acoustic folk with a banjo, and the Mugwumps played something closer to folk rock with bass and drums. The rehearsals in the Virgin Island were, quote, the first time that we tried playing electric, end quote. The single, Go Where You Wanna Go, which was given a limited release in November of 65, failed to chart. The follow-up, California Dreamin', was released in December, touted by a full-page advertisement in Billboard on December 18th, 65. It peaked at number 4 in 1966, and it hit number 23 in the UK. Go Where You Wanna Go was then covered by the Fifth Dimension on its album Up, Up, and Away and became a top 10 hit. The debut album, If You Can Believe Your Eyes and Ears, followed in 1966 and became its only number one on the Billboard 200. The third and final single from the album, Monday, Monday, which was released in March of 66, that became the band's only number one hit in the United States, and it reached number 3 in the United Kingdom. The band's second album, Mamas and Papas, is sometimes referred to as Cass, John, Michelle, Denny, whose name appears above the band's name on the cover, including the unexplained misspelling of Doherty's first name. The recording was interrupted when Michelle Phillips became indiscreet about her affair with Gene Clark of the Byrds. This affair was on the heels of, in 1965, Doherty was sleeping with Michelle while she was still married to John. Meanwhile, Cass Elliot's unrequited love for Doherty was an open secret within the band. According to reports, this created tension between the women. It was pretty toxic, one person said. I don't think John could ever fully trust Denny while Michelle was in the picture. Then, John started having his own affairs. Then you have Denny pining away for Michelle, but that didn't stop him from having his own flings. And Cass had a string of lovers who just wanted her for her money. And she always still loved Denny. It's as bad and as complicated as it could get, one was quoted. Michelle and Denny Doherty had already been forgiven by her husband, John. Doherty and John Phillips co-wrote I Saw Her Again about the affair. Following Michelle's affair with Clark, John Phillips was determined to fire her. Although he had forgave her, he didn't want to work with her. After consulting with their attorney and record label, John Elliott and Doherty served Michelle with a letter expelling her from the group on June 28, 1966. Jill Gibson was hired to replace Michelle. Gibson was a visual artist and singer-songwriter who had also recorded with Jan and Dean. Gibson soon took part in concerts, television appearances, including the Hollywood Palace, and some recording sessions. While Gibson was a quick study and well-regarded, the three original members concluded she lacked her predecessor's stage charisma and grittier edge. And Michelle Phillips was reinstated on August 23, 1966. Jill Gibson left the band and was paid a lump sum from the group's funds. I could not find anywhere how much that was. With Michelle Phillips reinstated, the group embarked on a small tour on the East Coast, which to promote the record in the fall of 1966. At a September 1966 concert at Fordham University in New York City, the band was noted as being, quote, clearly high, drunk, or trippin', end quote. Yeah, okay, I can see it. When they got on stage, it was clear that these people shouldn't be on stage. They tumbled onto the stage, shambled around, and it just got nowhere. After completing their East Coast tour, the group started work immediately on its third album, The Mamas and the Papas Deliver. The first single from the album, Look Through My Window, was released in September 66. It reached 24 in the U.S. The second single, Dedicated to the One I Love, released in February 67. It did better, peaking at number 2 in both the U.S. and U.K. The success of Dedicated to the One I Loved helped the album, which also released in February of 67. The third single, Creek A Alley, released in April of 67, chronicling the band's early history and reached the number one spot in the U.S. By June of 67, the strain on the group was very apparent when it performed indifferently. The band was under-rehearsed, partially because John and Michelle were preoccupied, partially because Doherty arrived at the last minute from the Virgin Islands, and partially because he was drinking heavily in the aftermath of his affair with Michelle. The Mamas and the Papas rallied for its performance before 18,000 people at the Hollywood Bowl in August with none other than Jimi Hendrix as the opener. Like Jimi Hendrix. The Mamas and the Papas cut their first three albums at United Western Recorders, while the group's subsequent releases were recorded on the 8-track studio that John and Michelle had built in their home in Bel Air at a time when only 4-track recording was still the norm. John said, "I got the idea to transform the attic into my own recording studio, so I could pretty much stay high all of the time and never had to worry about studio time. I began assembling the state-of-the-art equipment and ran the cost up to around $100,000. Keep in mind, this is in 1967 or 1968 dollars. Good God, that's a lot of money. While having his own studio gave John the autonomy he craved, it also removed the external discipline that may have been beneficial to a man who described himself as an obsessive perfectionist. Doherty, Elliott, and Adler, their manager, found the arrangement uncongenial. Elliott complained to Rolling Stone in a October 26, 1968 interview, "We spent one whole month on one whole song. Just the vocals for The Look of Ivy took one whole month. I did my debut album in 3 weeks, a total of 10 days in the studio, live with the band, not pre-recorded tracks sitting there with earphones." The recording sessions for the fourth album stalled, and in September 67, John Phillips called a press conference to announce that the Mamas and the Papas were, quote, taking a break, which the band confirmed on the Ed Sullivan Show that aired on September 24th. The Mamas and the Papas planned to give concerts in Paris and London before taking time out to get that muse going again. When the group docked at Southampton on October 5th, Cass Elliott was arrested for stealing 2 blankets and a hotel key worth $28. fuck. That was from a prior visit the previous February. Elliot was transferred to London, where she spent the night in custody after being strip searched before the case was dismissed in the West London Magistrates Court the next day. The hotel was less interested in the blankets than in an unpaid bill. Cass had entrusted the money to her companion, who will remain nameless, who neglected to settle the account. The police were less interested in the blankets or the bill than in Cass's companion, who was suspected of international drug trafficking and was the sole subject of their questioning. Later at a party hosted by the band to celebrate Cass's acquittal, John Phillips interrupted Cass when she was telling Mick Jagger about her arrest and trial and said, "Mick, she's got it all wrong. That's not how it was at all." Elliot screamed at Phillips and stormed out of the room. Elliot was ready to quit. The additional concert dates were canceled, and the four went their separate ways. John and Michelle went to Morocco. Doherty returned to the United States, and Elliot went either to the United States, according to John, or to a rendezvous with her companion in Paris, according to Michelle. In an interview with Melody Maker, Elliot unilaterally announced that the Mamas and the Papas had disbanded, saying, quote, "We thought this trip would give the group some stimulation, but this has not been so," end quote. John, Phillips, and Elliot reconciled complete the Papas and the Mamas, which was the band's last album together. The album was the band's first album not to go gold or reach the top 10 in America. Dunhill Records, however, released Elliot solo from the album, a remake of Dream a Little Dream of Me, a single credited to Mama Cass with the Mamas and the Papas in June of 68, against John's wishes. The song reached number 12 in the U.S. and number 11 in the U.K., making Dream a Little Dream of Me the only single by the Mamas and the Papas to chart higher in the U.K. than in the U.S. The success of Dream a Little Dream confirmed Elliot's desire to embark on a solo career, and by the end of 1968, it appeared as though the group had split. John Phillips recalled, "Times had changed. The Beatles showed the way. Music itself was heading towards a technological and compositional complexity that would leave many of us behind. It was tough to keep up." The group met its demise officially in early 1969, as John recalled saying, "Dunhill Records released us from our contracts, and we were history, though we still owed the label another album." Elliot, billed as Mama Cass, had released her solo debut, Dream a Little Dream, in 68. Phillips released his solo work, John Phillips, John the Wolf King of L.A., in 1970, and Denny Doherty followed with What You Gonna Do in 71. Cass had a successful solo career touring U.S. and Europe. She appeared frequently on television, including two specials, the Mama Cass television program on ABC in 69, and Don't Call Me Mama Anymore on CBS in September 73. She recorded hits such as Make Your Own Kind of Music, It's Getting Better, and They Never Surpassed Dream a Little Dream. Cass Elliot died of heart failure in London on July 29, 1979, in her sleep after completing a two-week engagement at the Palladium. There was a full autopsy investigation. They found, to put this to rest, they found it was heart failure due to a variety of things. She took a lot of LSD, and then she started on heroin. Now, she wasn't on any heroin at that point in her life, but that likely weakened her heart with time. And she was on a lot of yo-yo diets where she would lose 100 pounds and then gain it back, and then lose it again and then gain it back. All of those things combined contributed to her heart failure. Cass was survived by her only child, Owen Vanessa Elliott, who was born in 1967. Cass never revealed who Owen's father was. Folklore surrounds Mama Cass's death to this day, stating she died choking on a ham sandwich. That's sad. That's just another fat joke for a talented woman who endured a lot of fat jokes. John Phillips' country-influenced solo album was not a commercial success, despite featuring the single Mississippi, which reached number 32 here in the U.S. Phillips was lost in a heroin addiction through much of the 1970s. A period included his arrest and conviction in 1980 on a charge of conspiring to distribute narcotics, for which he spent a month in jail in 1981. In later years, he performed with the new Mamas and the Papas and appeared in revival shows and television specials. He told his side of the story of the Mamas and the Papas in the memoir Papa John in 1986, and in the PBS television documentary Straight Shooter, the true story of John Phillips and the Mamas and the Papas, which aired in 1988. John Phillips died of heart failure in Los Angeles on March 18, 2001. A disgusting note about John, according to his own daughter, yes, his own daughter, Mackenzie, who was on One Day at a Time, Mackenzie Phillips confessed that she engaged in a 10-year, this is just gross, consensual sexual relationship with her father. Mackenzie Phillips told Oprah that she was first raped by her father in a hotel room when she was 18, while passed out after a drug binge, but continued to use drugs and have consensual sex with him for years. The relationship continued long after she got married and ended only when she became pregnant and feared her father was the baby's father. She said, John paid for an abortion. Just yuck. Oh, gross. She went to tell of her first sexual experience with her father. Quote, I woke up that night from a blackout to find myself having sex with my father. I don't know how it started. She was raped by her father in a hotel room in late 1970s, she said. For a moment, I was in my body for the horrible truth, she said, of waking up and realizing that she had had sex with her father. I boxed it away. I started very early on in my life compartmentalizing. This was the mother of all the difficult experiences I have spent the last 30 years trying not to look at. Wow, that's just, ugh. That's foul. I mean, honestly, that's fucked up. Michelle Phillips, Mackenzie's stepmother and a member of the group, told The Hollywood Reporter she believed the allegations were false. She said Mackenzie had a lot of mental illness and that she had a needle stuck up her arm for over 35 years. Mackenzie is jealous of her siblings who have accomplished a lot and did not become drug addicts, Michelle said. Mackenzie told Oprah when she confronted her father about the rape, he characterized it as their relationship was romantic. After the first experience, I went to my father and said, we need to talk about how you raped me. My dad said, raped you? Don't you mean made love? In that moment, I thought, I'm really on my own here. In 1980, soon after she'd been fired from One Day at a Time because of her out-of-control drug use, Mackenzie began to travel with the father's new band, the new Mamas and the Papas. It was during that time, she said, that she began doing regular drugs and regular sex with her father. Oh, fuck me. That's just, ugh. It didn't happen every day, she said. It didn't happen every week. But it certainly happened and happened many times. Ugh, man. Excuse me, I have to take a drink of whiskey right now to wash that vomit out of my mouth. Denny Doherty's solo career faltered after the appearance of What You Gonna Do in 71. Doherty turned to the stage, making a disastrous start in John Phillips' Man on the Moon in 1975. He also performed with the new Mamas and the Papas. He was an alcoholic through most of the 1960s and 70s. He did recover, however, in the 1980s and stayed sober for the remainder of his life. In 1996, he was inducted into the Canadian Music Hall of Fame. Doherty answered John Phillips' PBS documentary with the autobiographical stage musical Dream a Little Dream the nearly true story of the Mamas and the Papas. Denny Doherty died on January 19th, 2007, at his home in Ontario from kidney failure following surgery for an abdominal aneurysm. While Michelle's solo album, Victim of Romance, in 1977, made a very little impact, she went on to build a very successful career as an actress. Some of her film titles include The Last Movie, Dillinger, Valentino, Bloodline, The Man with Bogart's Face, American Anthem, Let It Ride, and The Joshua Tree. Her television credits include, and I had to go back and look at this and see what character she played. She was on Star Trek The Next Generation. She was on Hotel, Knott's Landing, and Beverly Hills 90210. Michelle Phillips published a memoir, California Dreamin', in 1986, the same year that John published his. Reading the two books together was, according to one reviewer, like reading the transcripts in a divorce trial. As the co-writer and owner of the copyright of California Dreaming, Michelle Phillips was an important contributor to the 2005 PBS documentary California Dreamin', The Songs of the Mamas and the Papas. The Mamas and the Papas were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1998. Just a little side note, some of the stuff that they went through was pretty fucked up, but they did give us some decent tunes. Thanks for that.